Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and on this week's show, we are talking nutrition. Now, this is a topic that is talked about a lot in terms of swimming that people should pay attention to, should focus on. It's going to make a big difference to their training. But a lot of club swimmers out there don't have access to a regular nutritionist. So what we thought we'd do for you guys at home is we are going to speak to a leading expert in nutrition from Brand Youth Sport Nutrition and basically give you guys at home a good guide to your nutrition and swim training, because like I said, there isn't many resources out there for you unless you have a specialist on board at your club. So it gives me great pleasure to welcome Emmy Campbell from Youth Sport Nutrition. How are you doing, Emmy?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you tonight and hopefully help out all the swimmers out there with their nutrition.
Great stuff. So let's start with Youth Sport Nutrition. Why don't you give us kind of a rundown of your role at the company, what you do and what the company does for swimmers out there?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm the lead nutritionist at Youth Sport Nutrition. So I head up the whole education side of things, kind of covering everything from sort of nutrition articles, blogs, to working with clubs on a team basis to help with their nutrition strategy, and then working with individual athletes on a one-to-one basis as well. That's the education side of Youth Sport Nutrition. And what we've also got is we've developed the first global recovery supplement designed specifically for youth athletes. So in an ideal world, I come into the clubs and I work with the athletes and I nail their nutrition 100%. But, you know, we know in real life that's not always the case. So what we've come up with is a safe and suitable product for athletes to have if they don't have access to that sort of ideal nutritious meal after their training session, you know, whether that's because of a lack of time, whether it's picky eating habits, you know, whatever it might be, we want to make sure there's something in place there as an alternative if needs be.
Definitely. So what we're going to do in this episode is we'll run down with you kind of the day-to-day training nutrition that people need to target, a race day kind of schedule, what nutrition you need to look at for when you're racing, and then we'll go back on to supplements and how that can enhance people's training.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the basics, the general nutrition rules that everyone should be following. Everyone knows about the 5 fruit or veg and 8 glasses of water, but are there any other aspects that people need to be targeting?
Yeah, I think in general, you know, everyone should just be aiming for a sort of, you know, we say like a healthy, balanced diet. So, you know, incorporating all of the main food groups into each of your meals, getting plenty of fruit and veg in there for the nutrients as well. And what I would say is not eliminating anything from your diet that you don't need to. Obviously, if you've got sort of allergies and tolerances, you have to. But if you're just a healthy person, then, you know, there's no need to be eliminating any of the food groups from your diet. Make sure you're getting a good balance of everything so that, you know, you're fueling your body with what it needs.
And that's especially important when you look at swimmers and the amount of hours that they are training in a week.
Absolutely. Yeah. So their energy demands are going to be absolutely sky high. So to match that, they're going to be needing to eat a lot of food. And just coming back to that idea of, you know, ticking all of the nutrients, so getting each of the macronutrients in their meals, getting the fruit and veg in there as well. And, you know, for the youth athletes and particularly for the swimmers, I think first and foremost, what they need to do is just make sure they're eating enough. You know, the sort of the amount of energy that their body is going to be burning each day is really high. So it is going to take a lot of food to match that. So As a bit of a rule, I'd say minimum of 3 meals and 2 or 3 snacks every single day, and just make sure that you're not skipping meals at all. So with that as well, just coming back to the idea of getting all of the macronutrients in, you know, particularly focusing on lots of carbs in the diet. They're the fuel that your body's going to use for your swim training. And because you are training so much, carbohydrates are going to be absolutely king in terms of the diet. But at the same time, still incorporating plenty of protein in there. So getting a good source of protein in each of the three meals, plus 1 to 2 high protein snacks throughout the day, is going to be key as well. And the other final one that I'd say is really important and massively overlooked by a lot of youth athletes is just hydration. Make sure you're drinking enough, you know, hitting sort of, you said that the 8 glasses of water, but I think for the athletes, it's going to be even a little bit higher than that, aiming for kind of 2 to 3 liters each day, and drinking while you're at school, drinking while you're in training, drinking afterwards, just hydrate throughout the day as well.
Just constantly have a bottle on you at all times.
Yeah, that's the best trick. Just get yourself a reusable water bottle, fill it up and just carry it everywhere. Easiest way.
Great stuff. So are we talking, because swimmers have such a high need for calories, are we talking they need to be writing down kind of food diaries, not going into the specifics of each calorie of every meal? Because I know with kind of young athletes that gets a bit dangerous in calorie counting, but just to make sure that there's nothing they're missing in their diet, would you recommend kind of like a food diary?
It can be useful if you think there's something specifically, if you're worried something is missing, then a food diary could be helpful. But what I usually, you know, just recommend for athletes is just sort of listening to your body a bit. If you're feeling really tired or lethargic, or if you're getting lots of illnesses or injuries, then they're the signs to look out for that you might be under fueling. And then as long as you're hitting sort of 3 meals and 2 snacks every day, and you're trying to get the good balance of fruit and veg and, you know, hitting the macronutrients as well, then I don't think there's really too much of a need for kind of a food diary, unless you're looking out for something. Unless you're looking out for something specifically, I don't think there's a need for a food diary.
Don't need to kind of, I know it's kind of, you can get into like the mental welfare of it, and I know at times I've calorie counted and it's not actually been beneficial to me. You kind of focus on the food too much, if that makes sense.
Exactly. I think, yeah, it can get a little bit obsessive almost, and you can get really hung up on the numbers and kind of, you know, forget about the food itself. So I don't personally like to get, you know, athletes to count their calories. And I think what's so hard with that as well is, you know, each training session is going to be so different. Mm. So the amount of calories your body needs each day is going to be so different. So it's so hard to give an athlete a set number to aim for. Because if we're aiming for one number one day, that could be completely wrong for the next day. And it just gets really complicated. I mean, nutrition in general can be quite complicated. So let's not add to that unnecessarily.
Exactly. Especially if we're talking about kind of under 18s who may not entirely track every single moment of the day. They don't want to miss anything.
So, you know, with the youth swimmers as well, you know, if they're spending sort of 3-4 hours a day at the pool, and then they're spending sort of 8 hours a day in the classroom, I think they've got enough on their plates really without trying to track every single thing that they eat. So I think for me is just sort of nailing the basics, getting all the fundamentals in place, and once you've got those fundamentals in place, you should be ticking all of the right boxes nutritionally anyways with just that.
Great. So if we look at a day-to-day kind of training routine for a swimmer, the obvious first thing that stands out is early morning swimming. That's kind of a tick box of any youth who is racing or in competitive swimming training. And something I always struggled with was eating before that training session, because usually you're in the pool at 5:30, 6 o'clock. It can be really hard to get something into your body. But if swimmers are looking to have a breakfast meal, say 30 minutes before training, is that possible? And is there something they should be looking at having before they swim?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it is really hard just because you're up so early. You might not be able to face food that early in the morning, or you might not, you know, you don't have quite enough time to sit down to a full meal, as you said. But just coming back to what I said about how much energy swimmers do use each day, it is important that we do try and get some energy into the body before that first session.
Okay.
So What you can do is just have sort of really light options, so something that isn't heavy on the stomach. It's not just going to kind of sit there and make you feel sick or give you stomach pain. So light options, things like bananas, dried fruits, a cereal bar, something like that's going to be brilliant. If you can face something a little bit bigger, toast or crumpets with a bit of jam or some honey or something like that's gonna it's gonna be nice and high in carbs, it's low in fat, it's easy to digest, and it's gonna give you that sort of quick energy boost that you need. What I tend to find though is kind of athletes can either eat or they can't, and obviously the ones who can't are the ones who just struggle the most. So what I suggest for those guys is use liquid energy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with drinking your energy for the day. So things like fruit juices, fruit squashes, sports drinks, smoothies, stuff like that, where you can pack a lot of carbs, a lot of energy into a liquid form. It's going to be, it's much easier to kind of sip on a bottle of juice than it is to try and force a slice of toast down your,
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
in your 4 in the morning sort of thing. So drinks are going to be an absolutely brilliant option first thing in the morning. Really easy way to get those easy digested carbs into the body, and they're also going to help to hydrate you as well. Considering that you haven't drank anything for sort of 8 to 10 hours, then hydration is really important as well. So always having a bottle of juice in the fridge handy. Grab it as soon as you get up and just sip on it on the way to your training session, and that'll be brilliant. What I would say with the early morning sessions though is it's really important to focus on what you have the night before. If you're sort of up at sort of 4:45 a.m. to go train, and there's not really that much you can do in terms of fueling in that sort of time, what you have that early in the morning, it's just an energy boost really. So what we want is focus on the night before, get a really nice high carb meal into you, good source of protein and some fruit and veg in there as well, of course, for the vitamins and minerals. And I'd finish that off with a bedtime snack as well. So again, something high in carbs with a source of protein, and that's going to be brilliant. Obviously, that can be a bit challenging in itself, though, because I know a lot of swimmers sort of don't maybe get home from their evening training until sort of 10 o'clock at night, and then they're straight to bed and out. But just making sure that if you have trained the night before, it's really, really important to refuel after that session, because not only is it recovering from one session, but it's setting you up for the next one as well. So really don't just think about your fueling starting on the day. Your fueling is kind of a continual process.
Yeah, definitely. I think my go-to when I was swimming was tuna pasta. I basically had
Yeah.
that every evening. I think that's a swimmer's dream.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with it though, can you? It's absolutely
No,
perfect.
definitely not. Definitely not. So when swimmers are training, there's obviously they need to drink, they need to stay hydrated. In the odd occasion, say it's a 2.5 hour long session, you're really going for it on a training camp, are there any snacks that swimmers can have during a swimming set? Is it okay to have like a small Mars bar or that sort of energy source?
I probably wouldn't go for the Mars bar, just because like chocolate is quite high in fat, and fat takes much longer to digest and like to empty from your stomach. So you'll probably have the Mars bar and you'll be back in the pool before it's had time to do anything, and you'll end up with maybe getting stomach pains and things like that. But there are definitely some great snacks you can have. Again, everyone's going to have their own sort of tolerance for what you can have during a training session, and the more you practice eating during training, the better you'll get at it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's a bit rare that you can eat during a training session. From my experience, it is only when you're on like a really intense training camp or stuff like that, when you've struggled to get the fuel in on a morning session and suddenly it hits you and you need to get something in you fast.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always a good idea to have something in the kit bag just in case that happens. And again, snacks that are sort of really simple, really easy to digest, but are still nice and high in carbs for that energy boost. So things like dried fruit or even some jelly sweets are going to be brilliant. Maybe a banana or like a cereal bar or a piece of banana bread, something like that. Another great one is just having 2 or 3 Jaffa cakes. Again, everyone or nearly everyone I spoke to likes Jaffa cakes, and just having 2 or 3 of them, but they're going to give you that energy boost that you need. But again, you know, what we've said of you can't always sort of physically eat something. So they're the times where you need those high carbohydrate drinks, so the sports drinks, the Lucozades, the fruit squashes, and just sip on them at any opportunity you get.
Just have that kind of safety net available to you just in case you do crash during a long session.
Absolutely. Just come prepared, kind of prepare for the worst. And, you know, if you need it, it's there. And if you don't, it's there for the next time, just in case.
So when it comes to hydration in a session, is there a specific rule of thumb for, say, a 2 hour long set?
With hydration, again, there's going to be quite a lot of sort of individual variability in this. It's going to depend on, you know, how much you sweat, how hot the pool is, how humid it is, how hard you've trained, that kind of thing. So the amount you need to drink is going to vary a little bit, but I'd say as a general guide, a good ballpark to aim for is about 500 milliliters of fluid for every hour of training session, of every hour of training that you do.
Okay.
So if you've got a 2 hour session, you know, you're going to need to bring along at least 1 liter of fluids to drink on throughout the session whenever you've got a break. And then really important to make sure you hydrate before you even get into the pool. Make sure you hydrate before your training session, and then make sure you're hydrating afterwards. So it just comes back to that idea of what we said right at the start of, you know, get yourself a water bottle and just make sure it's always filled up with water, with fruit juice, with squash, whatever you prefer.
And am I right in thinking that if a swimmer stays hydrated, they're unlikely to get cramp? Because I know that's a big issue with, not issue within swimming, but it's a common injury during a training session is swimmers getting cramp. Is that due to hydration?
So cramps are still a little bit elusive in the sort of scientific world. No one's really quite figured out what exactly causes them yet, but hydration is definitely a factor in that. So yeah, if you are someone who suffers from cramps, do make sure that you're hydrating, you're drinking plenty before, during and after. And there's also some anecdotal evidence kind of emerging now that salt might play a role in it. So if you do suffer from cramps a lot, I'd recommend getting some electrolyte tablets or having sort of a sports drink that's got the electrolytes in it. And that might be a good way to help get a little bit more sort of sodium into your body, which might help with the cramps as well.
I've seen, I think it's tennis players who drink, is it pickle juice? And they have that to get rid of cramp.
Well, yeah. But again, I've not tried that myself, so I don't know exactly on that one. But
I'm not sure. I think that's a very acquired taste to be having pickle juice.
I think, yes, swimming on a stomach full of pickle juice, yeah, could be an interesting one. So
maybe
not sure on that one.
So after training, you covered it briefly when you said about the night before. What sort of food should be consumed after training, and how quickly does it need to get into the swimmer's body?
Yeah, so, you know, getting in a good nutritious meal after your training session is absolutely essential to, you know, to recovering from the session, to fueling you up for the next session. And it's also going to determine how well your body actually adapts to the training session. So if you eat well after your training, you can kind of, you know, your body will adapt better to the session than what it will without eating. So you're kind of getting almost double the gains from one session than you would. So it's an absolute win-win to me.
Okay.
So in terms of what to eat after a training session, you want to get lots of carbs in there to refuel the energy stores.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good source of protein to help repair and rebuild the muscles. And then you need plenty of fluids to hydrate the body as well.
So what is a good source of protein for people to have?
Yeah, so protein, you know, you've got things like chicken, meat, fish, eggs, dairy products, milk, cheeses, that kind of thing. Or if you're a vegetarian athlete, things like beans, chickpeas, tofu are all absolutely brilliant sources to include in your meals.
Plenty of options out there. Is it a myth that how quickly you need to eat after a session, or is there a specific time frame where it's best for recovery?
You don't need to be too exact with this. You know, there's that idea of it has to be within 90 minutes. And I'd say if you've got a double training session, so if you've got your early morning session and then you're training again later that day, or if you've got a late night finish and you're training first thing the next morning, then it is more important to sort of refuel nice and quickly after the training session. But you know, don't stress too much if it's 2 hours, or
Yeah.
don't stress too much if it's sort of 45 minutes. As long as you're getting that meal in within the hour to 2 hours after your training session finishes, then that's sort of exactly what your body needs.
I guess it's kind of like you said before, listen to your body, let it know when it's ready to eat. If you're not hungry after a swimming session, you might be half an hour down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you see a lot of people kind of panicking that they've got to eat as soon as they finish their training session, and they're kind of trying to shovel bananas and milkshakes into their mouth as they come out of the training room, sorry, out of the changing rooms. But you know, it's not like that at all. It's not that kind of. It doesn't have to be that exact. As long as you get it in when you're ready, and as long as you do get it in, that's the main thing.
Okay, so that is training broadly covered. That is the hard work done in the day-to-day training. It's now time for race day. Now, race day, the diet for race day doesn't start on the day of the race, does it? It starts the day before with fueling yourself, like a morning training session.
Yeah, when it comes to race day, you know, your fueling has to start at least the day before, perhaps even 2 to 3 days before, depending on how big of a competition it is, how important it is, what kind of race it is, that kind of thing. So, you know, again, coming back to that idea of high carbohydrate meals to make sure you've got fuel in the body, make sure your tank's filled up nice and early, so that what you do on race day is, again, is just going to be about topping it up rather than trying to actually fuel there and then.
Okay, so if you are, say, racing for 3 days over a weekend, you've got
Yep.
five races, six races, events, you are looking at kind of your high carb meals, what, 2 days before, your pastas, everything like that needs to be in your body well in
Yeah.
advance.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, there's absolutely no harm at all in starting 2 days before your event. Definitely the day before, making sure that you're getting the carbs in, you've got a good source of protein in each meal as well. And coming back to that idea of hydrating as well, really important that you go into those races nice and hydrated, otherwise it's going to be an uphill battle when you start.
And what's best to have while racing's going on? Because I think my favorite go-to was the jelly sweets that you said earlier, packet of Haribo to keep you going through the competition. Is there
Yeah,
any, is it kind of small snacks that you want to have throughout the day?
it's going to depend a lot on how long you've got between races. So if you've only got sort of maybe 30 to 60 minutes between a race, then that's not really enough time for your body to kind of digest whatever you feed it. And you're probably not going to be hungry straight after you get out of the pool. So really you're not going to quite have time to get sort of a full meal in there. So again, I'd go for those really light, high carb, easy to digest snacks. So like what you said, the jelly sweets are absolutely brilliant. Dried fruit, bananas, Jaffa cakes, rice crackers, that kind of thing are all going to be excellent. Or again, brilliant for race days are the sort of the sugary drinks, so your sports drinks, your fruit squash, your fruit juice, that kind of thing.
And it's all within reasonable proportion, isn't it? You don't want a half hour before a race stuff your face full of sweets. It's kind of just the odd one or two.
Yeah, it's yeah, just kind of sort of grazing between the races. Again, it's going to come down to what I would say for competition is, you know, practicing your training sessions, practice the kind of foods that you're going to have on competition day. Have a handful of jelly sweets, have a handful of raisins, whatever you're choosing to have. Get in the pool half an hour later and see how you perform, because the last thing you want is to try something new on competition day and just to get stomach cramps, or you know, just to feel rubbish as you're about to start the race. So yeah, practice it in training, see how you feel, and depending on how long you've got between races, the shorter the time, the lighter the food needs to be. And if you've got a bit more of a substantial break, then you can start to have something a bit more substantial to eat.
Yeah, it's all about you, kind of the young swimmers listening to this. It's all about practicing that professional mindset as soon as you possibly can. Whether it's replicating in training so that you know what you're doing in race day. I know a lot of swimmers will practice the warm-up session that they are going to do on that race so that they learn it. They know what they have to do off by heart. The coach doesn't have to tell them. And the same goes with nutrition. Like Emmy said, if you want to know what your body can take on a race day, and you're starting to take these things a lot more seriously, then practice it.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more for that. You know, training's not just about sort of training your swim technique. It's about training for absolutely every aspect of the competition, and nutrition's definitely got to be included in that as well.
So we spoke about it at the start of this podcast, which is supplements. And youth sport nutrition specialize in supplements for young adults. Now, what age is it recommended that people start adding these products into their diet?
So with the supplements, it's not sort of you get to an age and then you need them. You know, supplements aren't an essential part of the diet in an ideal world, and what we always like to promote is food first. So focusing on everything we've kind of chatted through already tonight, of you know, just making sure that you're nailing the basics with your nutrition, and you're always sort of looking to healthy, nutritious meals. And then if there are cases where, you know, you maybe don't have access to a meal straight after a training session, or, you know, if you're maybe a picky eater or you're worried that you might have certain deficiencies, then supplements can be a good addition to the diet. But they are an addition to the diet. They're not there to kind of replace anything. They're there to enhance what you already have. So what we tend to find is that the younger athletes, or those who sort of don't train as intensely, should be able to meet all of their nutritional needs nice and easily through a good sort of balanced diet. As you start getting into the sort of really long, heavy training sessions, then a supplement might be beneficial to, you know, to make sure that you're getting enough energy, you're getting enough sort of carbs and protein, and you're getting all of the vitamins and minerals that you need as well.
How often should swimmers be target not targeting, but how often should swimmers be looking to supplements? Because if you start using it on such a regular occasion, I guess you need to look in the mirror and kind of see what's going on with your regular diet, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they should be there as sort of, you know, like a backup option if you can't get the whole meal, or if you are missing something from your diet. You know, they're there to be sort of convenient, and they're there to help out when you need it. Really, if you're finding that you need to kind of you're turning to supplements really regularly, then you know you perhaps do need to look at your whole food diet and think, right, what can I possibly change in my diet so that I don't need this supplement? And in an ideal world, you know, in an ideal world, no one would need a supplement, but we know that's not always the case.
Definitely, definitely. So we've covered a lot in this episode of the podcast, and there's obviously so much more detail that people can go into and talk about even more, but there obviously has to be a cutoff point. But for anyone who's looking for more nutritional advice for swimmers or for young athletes in general, is there any resources that you would point them towards?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this one can be a bit of a sort of it can be quite hard to find sort of good reputable sources of nutrition advice, because there's so many sort of fad diets and misinformation out there. Like, the nutrition world can be a minefield. So what I would say is, you know, just use trusted resources and try and find the sort of the resources that are written by a qualified nutritionist. For youth athletes, you know, I'd recommend at Youth Sport Nutrition, we actually have a forum on the website where we regularly update blogs and articles covering sort of all different aspects of nutrition. So there's some that are swim specific, some are sort of just general nutrition articles. You know, we cover sort of absolutely everything from training days to recovery to general health and well-being. So the YSN forum is an absolutely brilliant place to start. Another one that I particularly like is the Sports Dietitians of Australia website. They've got another sort of a brilliant collection of similar sort of articles on there, and again, they're all written by qualified sort of nutrition experts, so they're a good one to trust as well.
Am I right in thinking that you guys at U Sport Nutrition also run kind of workshops and can give kind of evening talks to any swimming clubs that are interested?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we work with a whole host of different swimming clubs, you know, coming in. What we do is we work with the coaches to see what they think the swimmers need, and then we'll deliver a workshop covering all the basics of performance nutrition. And then we also, with that, we host a question and answer session as well. So if any athletes have got anything specific they want to ask, it's an absolute brilliant opportunity to kind of speak to a nutritionist on the night and to ask their questions as well.
Great stuff. So if any coaches are listening to this podcast and want to get in touch with Youth Sport Nutrition, I will link their website in the description of this podcast, and I'm sure they will be happy to put on a workshop for you guys. So, Emmy, I think that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining all about nutrition. I hope people have found it valuable.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having us. And what I'll add as well is if any swimmers have kind of still got any questions they want to ask about their nutrition, then please just get in touch with us. You'll find us on across the social media channels, and we'll be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have about this podcast or anything that we've covered tonight as well.
Brilliant. Well, thank you, Emmy, for giving up your evening, and we will again soon.
Definitely. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. So that rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and all of the above podcast providing platforms. I've been Scott, and I will be back next week to chat more topics from around the swimming pool.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
I swam 1,416 lengths of my local pool, that's 22 miles, the width of the English Channel. In 12 weeks, you could conquer the English Channel too. Rediscover the joys of swimming from April by taking on Diabetes UK's life-changing challenge, Swim 22, in your local pool, and find a fitter you with every stroke. Click the banner or search Swim 22 to sign up for free today.